Hallo en welkom bij aflevering 85 van de Earning Show. Waar het draait om hoe je online meer resultaat boekt voor jouw bedrijf. Hoe je als ondernemer online gebruikt voor meer klanten en omzet. Mijn naam is Earning en ik neem ondernemers met een team het werk uit handen voor online resultaat. Meer klanten en 50% meer omzet binnen een jaar. Vandaag het gesprek met Jenna Soort. Jenna is een design fanatiekeling en een branding expert. En ze vindt het heerlijk om jou te helpen om een merk te maken dat zo persoonlijk is dat jij alle bijzondere mensen aantrekt waarmee jij wilt werken. Ze heeft lesgegeven aan de University of Oregon en de Forbes School of Business. In de 4 jaar dat ze les gaf over branding, design en entrepreneurship, heeft ze haar kernfilosofie ontwikkeld en getest hoe je als non-designer een professioneel ontwerp kunt maken in korte tijd. In 2013 lanceerde ze YouCanBrand.com. En leerde honderden eigenaren van een klein bedrijf hoe je ontwerpt. Ze heeft nu ruim 1 miljoen omzet op jaarbasis en leeft op verschillende locaties het jaar door. Ik ontmoette haar in Amsterdam, waar ze toen verbleef voor een aantal weken, terwijl ze een nieuwe lancering deed. De geluidskwaliteit van deze aflevering is iets anders dan normaal, want het was niet via Skype, maar live met een memo recorder. Dit is een aflevering uit de voormalige Number One Coachbase Show die niet verloren mag gaan. De aflevering is in het Engels. Veel plezier met het mooie gesprek met Jenna. Laten we beginnen.
Welkom in de Erno Hanning Show. De podcast waar je meer leert over de online kant van jouw coachingsbedrijf. Praktische tips die je helpen om vandaag jouw bedrijf online zichtbaar te maken.
Hi Jenna.
Hi, how's it going?
We are here in Amsterdam. It's raining, like you said, cats and dogs.
Yeah. We're standing underneath an umbrella in front of a coffee shop.
Which is really weird because we just were inside, but it was so much noise to do it there. So we're doing it here outside.
I know. It's very unique interview.
Right. So Jenna, who are you and what do you do?
So again, my name is Jenna Sword. I run YouCanBrand.com and I teach entrepreneurs how to design for themselves. So graphic design and branding for entrepreneurs.
So everything I don't want to do, you do.
Yes, basically.
Because I don't want to design, but you teach people how to design.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, I think, solopreneurs out there that would generally hire cheap or, you know, inexpensive designers or people in their family to do design for them because they can't afford a really, you know, high quality agency or something. And so I just help them be able to design for themselves, be empowered and be able to produce a logo and a website in a very short period of time.
And how important is a brand for somebody that's doing this, if you're an independent professional or a coach?
Well, I think that anytime that you are in an industry where there are multiple people in the same industry, that having a brand is kind of the way that you can differentiate yourself compared to every other person that's out there. And it's so much more than just a logo. It's really defining a niche or a niche target market that you're going for. Developing a brand personality, that's something that's going to be attractive to that target, and then really doing something that's fitting for your industry. So we combine a strategy of all those things with something visual, and that's where you get into like really effective branding processes.
But most people that I talk to, these coaches that, you know, been coaching for years and have difficulty finding clients, mm-hmm. One of the problems is that they don't have a niche. They don't mm-hmm. know where they should be going. So how do you design something if you not even know who you want to help?
Well, you have to decide that first. So, I mean, the big thing is that there is a scarcity mindset that happens with a lot of new entrepreneurs where they panic because they need to make money. So they think, well, I'm just gonna coach on everything. Or photographers do this a lot where they go, oh, I'm going to take pictures of babies and weddings and landscapes and seniors. And so those are the ones that become like the jack of all trades, but the master of none. And they can get some business. Like as a coach of all things or as a photographer of all things, it doesn't mean that you're going to end up broken alone, but it doesn't mean that you're probably not going to be a master in a certain industry. So by creating a niche, it really helps you make design decisions. It really helps you decide your strategy. So in the photography example, if somebody decides that they're going to be the best at baby photography, then it changes where they advertise. It changes the kinds of things that they have in their brand. So you get into the branding processes of parent brands and sub brands, and that's like a whole thing we could talk about for like hours. But
but is it something that's part of what you teach, or is it you need to find that out first and then you do the branding?
So I take people through a process where we figure all that stuff out before we even start to design. And people who start designing before they do that process is when they end up developing a website and a logo that isn't really fitting for their industry or for their ideal clients. It's just easy to make bad design decisions when you're basing something off of something that you like versus something that really is effective for your industry. And then there's the other problem of if you don't really know what you're doing and you hire a designer, they're not going to know what you're doing either. So they might create something and it could be good in standards of design, but it's not going to be effective because they're not following a strategy. So strategy always first and then design second.
Right. Mm-hmm. We talked about planting the flag before.
Yeah, sure.
How important is that?
Okay, so I guess to define like planting the flag for those who may not know what that is, I would say that, taking a stance on something that people may not agree with or that it's against common knowledge, I would say like it's really important to plant the flag because it's a part of you developing your own philosophies and your own mode of operation or your,
I don't know what
when you're thinking of like your own like what's another word for your own processes? I'm totally it's like philosophies, but it's there's another
mission.
No. I'm trying to think. I'm totally spacing on the word now. But you know, the thing that's going to make you a professional, that's going to stick out amongst all other professionals, is your own mode of operation, your own philosophy, like your own approach to something. And if you just do the same thing that everybody does, or you know, you don't take a stance, like I took a stance against WordPress. I became known for this being a Squarespace enthusiast or an anti-WordPress person. And that drew some people to me and it repelled some people from me. And that makes me serve the people who agree with me more effectively. And so planting a flag can be really good for, you know, fine tuning who your ideal clients are.
I think part of what you do, how you stand out, is also your image, how you mm-hmm. present yourself mm-hmm. with your design addresses and you know, the way that you've branded yourself on your website. Is that something that's really necessary?
Yeah, so I would say, I mean, obviously for every industry, it's going to be totally different. So you're going to have some brands that have a fictitious spokesperson, like we see with big brands like Victoria's Secret, for example. There is no one guru that's a real person. That's the Victoria's Secret angel. The angel is represented by many women who kind of fall into the same category of Amazon beautiful like woman. Their characteristics are all the same. So like they're communicating the idea of being beautiful and confident and sexy or whatever. Now, that's a fictitious character. If we think about Victoria's Secret as an actual person, we can kind of almost imagine what she would be like. The same way that we can imagine a spokesperson for REI, which is an outdoor store, or Geico. They all have characters that are relatable so that people feel like they have a relationship with them, and then you become devoted to them, and then you buy from them. When you're talking about coaching and you're talking about personal brands, we don't need to create a fictitious character because we are the character. So the idea with personal branding is that you present the best, most ideal version of yourself in that particular industry. Me teaching graphic design, I had to have a very good brand because if I'm teaching branding and design, I wouldn't be leading by example or showing that I can teach other people to do it if I can't do it for myself. So for any coaches out there, that if you're teaching finances or health, if you're a mess financially, that's going to work against you. You need to get it together. If you're a coach and you're overweight and you're trying to teach people how to not be overweight, like all of these things are like you have to lead with the best.
Right. But I also feel that your image that you have is also part of planting your flag kind of thing.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
It's what I see is different. So there's a lot of designers out there. A lot of them are kind of similar. But do you stand out?
Oh, well, cool. Thank you. Yeah. I think that I made a decision to be really authentic. I wanted to do something that was really me because when I tried to copy other people, I was a really big fan. I'm a big fan of Marie Forleo, and I was a part of her whole online group. And I saw a lot of people produce websites like theirs, and I got stuck into the same idea, like, oh, my website needs to look like hers to be on trend. But when I did that, I didn't feel very authentic. So I tried all these things. I went and got an expensive photo shoot. Originally, didn't have a real clear idea of what I was going to do. Pictures turned out horrible. Website was horrible. Everything was horrible. And I finally was like, well, I'm just going to do something I would want to do. And so I really wanted to play off the word launch because my program word had that. And I thought, well, airplanes launch. Amelia Earhart is an amazing woman in women entrepreneurship, and she was a pilot. So, and I used to be a burlesque dancer, and like I have all this like fun pinup stuff in my life. So it's very me. People have been telling me since I was 18 years old that I could be a Betty Boop impersonator. So why not play that up? And so then it was fun, and it was something to be excited about. And suddenly I didn't have to worry about being some other guru coach person that was getting a photo in a field that didn't feel like me. I could actually kind of break some rules. And so my recommendation there would be, you want to do something as a personal brand that is going to lead by example for what your industry you're in, but also something that feels totally you. Because if you're trying to be something that you're not.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. And at the same time, I'm having difficulty with that because I sometimes feel like, okay, I am me. Uh-huh. And at the same time, people say, well, in the pictures, you look different, or you look like a salesperson, or and some people say, well, I see you're always the same. And other people say, no, I see different things. I'm confused.
Well, I think that, like, let's say that you had a secret passion for sailing, or you've always wanted to be like a parachute person, or like, I don't like, there's got, if there's some sort of burning passion that you could really get into. For me, vintage design was something I was obsessed with. Pinup stuff was something I was obsessed with. So it was an easy thing for me to decide. So like in that instance, I would say give yourself permission to go be obsessed with something and like see if it works for that industry. It may or may not, it's worth exploring. But that's where character development could come. Like maybe you have a passion for the 1920s, or, you know, like the Prohibition era of America, you know, mobster or something. You can play up those things. I think the hard part is that you don't want to go too themed. I mean, overall, like I remember when I first launched, I was really playing up the theme and being like, welcome aboard to this. And I had a guru friend of mine say, oh, you got to be really careful about doing that, or you're going to end up being like a fad. So there is, you can't always go as crazy as I've gone, right. But I'm in a creative field, so I can get away with a lot more. What I would say is that if you are trying to, like, what is your why? Like, what is the reason why you're doing what you're doing? And then how can you communicate that the best way possible? And if it is being a family person, having time to spend with your family, just having photos of you doing things with your family and having that time, or videos of that, is going to communicate far more than a photo shoot.
Yeah, no, I agree. And at the same time, I'm having difficulties shooting photos with my family because my kids are this age that they don't want to be in a photo with me anymore.
Right.
I see all these people making all these photos with youngsters, and sure, you know, they don't know, but my kids are a bit older and they don't want to be in a photo anymore.
Right.
Anyway, I remember two Brian Solis, for example, he had this photograph on his profiles for a long time where he was holding glasses in front of him. And when I met him, I figured he was wearing glasses, but he wasn't. It was just somebody shoot this photo this way. And so for me, the image was him with glasses, which wasn't true.
Right.
Another guy was, I don't remember his name, but he had a hat on every photo.
Mm-hmm.
But once we met in person, he didn't have a hat.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who he was. I didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
So I think it's also, you know, right, it has to fit with you, but it's also, it feels like you have to be always like that.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I mean,
I was kind of disappointed. Did you?
I know, you were for you. See, that's the whole thing. Like, that's not really fair.
But it
is.
Kidding.
No, I know. I know. But it's the same sort of thing. I mean, it's just like the way that we think of like a celebrity, like Johnny Depp. We imagine him being like in the Pirates of the Caribbean or something, and we're surprised when he shows up in sweats. You know, it's like, people are people.
Right.
But yeah, it is one of those things where we get expectations of how people are going to be. And then the more that you kind of fill that sort of, like when you're going to an event, I have a coach friend that purple is a really big part of her brand. And whenever she does speaking engagements or whenever she does workshops, she always wears purple. And her car is purple and everything. And so we kind of associate purple with her. And I think it's a cool branding thing. It's something that we can expect from her. If she showed up in red, it would be really weird. You know? So So there's things like that that will help people remember you. And when it comes to branding, that's good. And it could be a certain kind of hairstyle. It could be a certain style of clothing. It could be a color.
Yeah, I see a lot of, not a lot, I see a number of females that have a very strange color of hair that also makes them stand out.
Right.
So, two things about, so where you came and where you are now, right? Mm-hmm. So you've been doing this with your business for 2 years now, I learned, and all the talking we did today.
I know. We were just like, talk. We just talked for 4 hours straight, everybody.
And, how, because you had these 5-figure launches now, multiple.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get here? What did you do? What is different than what most people do?
Well, everybody talks about an overnight success, and there's definitely no such thing as that. So even though I've had my business for 2 years, 4 years before that, I spent planning and testing with the university classes I was teaching. So it all came from a why. It started with a problem with me as a graphic designer with clients. I ran into the problem all the time of clients expecting me to read their mind, and projects taking months that should take weeks, and me being frustrated by that, them being frustrated by that, and then thinking there has to be a better way, you know? And so, I discovered my love of teaching, and decided, well, what would it be like to teach non-designers how to design for themselves? And entrepreneurs really needed that. And so instead of taking on these clients and doing it for them, what would it be like to actually have them do it? So after 4 years of testing at the university level, they didn't know I was testing. But they hired me to come in as a branding and design expert. And I was like, this is a really great opportunity for me to take these non-designers that are in a wide variety of different majors and see what they can do. And so they're taking the course because they wanted to graduate with a portfolio or with a website for their business. And I taught 3 different classes. And so based on what I learned from that is how I developed the foundation for my program. So then I started testing what people actually wanted. And I surveyed, joined like a bunch of different Facebook groups and started surveying people about what they wanted and found out that there was a huge need for what I was doing, which was promising. And then when I launched, there was a lot of people that knew I was launching because I was incorporating them as a part of the process. So by the time I launched in 2014, I think that's when it was right after my 34th birthday, and I opened the gates, and there was a lot of, I was in a Facebook group with 14,000 people, and they'd been watching all the things I was working on. And so when that opened, it was a $33,000 launch, and I didn't have a mail list really. I had like 800 people on my list, and it was really just finding out what people wanted and giving it to them. But this is not an overnight thing.
But you launched in a Facebook group.
Yeah. So I launched, I had been developing a website and getting a lot of feedback on like, I'm doing this kind of opt-in. What do you think? I also did 2 beta tests before I launched with 100 people. So I had testimonials before I launched. I had a tried and true system where I like completely modified the entire program based on what they could do or what they couldn't do. And so, yeah, so that's how it happened, was beta tests plus Facebook groups plus 4 years of prep.
So, and what is it, what you do now with launches? How is it, how do your big launches work now?
It's kind of like throwing spaghetti against the wall most of the time. but I mean, now it's, you know, I've developed different products. I've tried different size products. I've tried mini products versus, bigger products. And from all the testing that I've done, I've realized that complete solutions are what people are looking for. So let's say like when I try to take my Launch Your Brand program, which I teach people how to come up with a brand strategy, how to design, how to use Photoshop and Illustrator, how to do a Squarespace website. When I just did parts of that, it never sold the way that it did as an entire package. So something I learned was that selling all-inclusive things that are really solving a problem that people need is a much more attractive thing than selling half of a solution. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that transpires. But it's, my launches now are either 24-hour joint venture launches that are mini launches with my audience and somebody else's audience, or they're big, huge, everybody on my list. You know, and I do live programs like 4 times a year. So
it's mostly emails to the list.
Yeah. So now, I mean, I've done everything. I've done video trainings, I've done webinars, and I've done email marketing. Nothing works as good as email marketing. So
building a list is really important.
Building a list is really important. In fact, it's so important that I surveyed my audience of 5,000 people. Used to be 6,000. I kicked 1,000 off the list for not participating. In that list, I got 300 responses, and I found out that the thing that people really needed was an aerial view of their business and their brand. So I sat down for a month and I thought about my process from business idea to launch and how I could turn that into a lead magnet to get people on my list. So it started off with, is your business idea a good idea or not? Take this quiz. And so it was a 7-page PDF of a checklist that they could go through that I didn't tell them exactly how to do it, but it told them what to do and when to do it. Some of it has some tidbits of how to do things. And so this was my lead magnet. And I just developed this. I put it out, had 600 downloads like right away. And then people were so excited about it that they go, how did you do this? Because I'm using it as a sales tool. When you go into the checklist for this, you know, the biz and brand roadmap, there's stars next to each thing on the to-do list. And each of those stars links to a sales page of my three programs. So that's great, because then as people are going through this lead magnet, I'm building my list, they're discovering like what programs I have, and then they get to decide, you know, if they want to join the program or not. Once they get into the program, I have the same roadmap with those stars linking to each individual lesson in the program. So it works as a navigation tool. So thank you. So when I show this to people, people are like, I've never seen anything like this before. And it was like, you know, I just have been innovating because these are things that my people need, and it was all based off surveys and stuff. And so I showed this to Mariah Cause from Femtrepreneur.co, and she goes, I want this for my program. Can you do a program on how to do this? So I spent the last week that I've been in Amsterdam filming 3 hours worth of video tutorials on how I did it, and how I did it in Illustrator, and how I did it with Adobe Acrobat Pro, and how I did it, how you can do it in Pages or Photoshop. Put together this entire program beginning to end, used my example as a case study. And so she gave it away as a bonus for her program, and we got, you know, 400 people to get into this, and then it funnels them into my program. So the point is that being reactive to things in the market, like I do something, I get a hit on it from a person who's like, oh my God, what is that? We want more of that. I could probably sell that tiny program easily compared to an offset thing that people don't know that they need. We need lead magnets. We don't necessarily know that we need a brand strategy, you know, sort of thing. So, yeah. So that's kind of what's worked.
So I'm going to wrap this up.
Yeah.
I have two final questions.
Mm-hmm.
One is easy.
Okay.
I think. So if you have one final tip for a coach that's working in the business right now, what would be a good tip for them to what they can do right away?
I would say, let's see here. If you're not getting the sales that you want, I would definitely take a look at, did you come up with the idea for your products and services, or did you base it on a survey of real people who have real issues? Because I know that even with all the experience that I have, that I have developed things thinking that they were a product or service that my people wanted. And I was blown away when I would survey them and find out what they really needed was a lot simpler or was something in a completely different direction I wasn't even going in. And so just note that even if you are the expert, you may not be the expert in what your audience wants. So surveying is like the most important thing, and that's a pretty simple thing to do. You can do that with surveymonkey.com, or you can do it with I think typeform.com is really good.
Yeah, and Google Forms.
So anything that's going to help you analyze that. And then I would also say, if you're getting comments about people being confused about where to find things on your website, or they're not understanding what you do in 15 seconds of coming to your site, you could survey them about that as well. That it might be time for you to have a branding professional come in and take a look at your site and see what you might be missing. Because a lot of the people that I work with will sometimes come to me and think that they have an amazing site, and I'll be like, wow, your site looks like it's made for a little kid and you're trying to attract older rich women. Like, that's never going to work. So, so that happens all the time. And it's sometimes when solopreneurs are designing for themselves, they like they just don't see the forest through the trees. They're too close to the design work. They really need help, and they need somebody, hopefully like a branding expert like myself, to come in and be like, hey, why don't we try this? And usually with that help, it can take them to the next level. So right, I would say either of those things. Cool. Yeah.
Okay, the final question is, who do you want to hear on this podcast?
Who do I want to hear on this podcast? I would love to hear Mariah Cause on this podcast. I think she would be a good person for you to interview. But you know, if it was like big people, that I would love to hear Gary
Vaynerchuk.
Yeah, I can't even say his last name. Vaynerchuk.
Vaynerchuk.
Yeah, Vaynerchuk. Or Seth Godin.
Well, I know people already interviewed her, and so it is possible.
It is possible. It is possible. Well, I'm trying to put big names out there because I want you to think big.
Well, I like to think about big coaches too. I like to interview big coaches.
How about Jonathan Fields? He would be a good one.
That's a good.
That would be a good one, and or even who was the other guy? I'm totally spacing. I think I have his. This is really funny. I went to the World Domination Summit and was playing the paperclip game, and I got you trade a paperclip for something more, and I got, where is it now? I got a certificate for a writing consult from, where is it? Is this it? Oh my gosh. I need to take him up on this. Goin.
Jeff Goins? Okay.
This certifies you for one free 30-minute with 10 points. I need to cash in on
that. I
know
Jeff.
Do you?
He's cool, yeah.
Is he?
Yeah. Nice guy.
So, I would say any of those people would be great.
Jenna, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. It was so fun hanging out with you today.
Yeah, it was, and we will hang out more, I guess.
No, now you have friends all over the world, and now when you come to Portland next time, you will have somebody to show you around the city.
Yeah.
And I will try to come back to Amsterdam and hang out in Holland again.
I agree.
This country is awesome.
It is. I love it a lot. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, thanks.
Dat was het gave gesprek met Jenna, en je vindt de namen en links die Jenna noemde in het artikel dat bij deze uitzending hoort. Ga daarvoor naar ennohanning.nl/show85. Wil je meer leren over branding? Luister dan ook naar de eerdere aflevering met Manon Thoma. Aflevering 68 tot met 70. Vergeet niet te abonneren op de Ennohanning Show via iTunes, Stitcher of Soundcloud. Dat doe je eenvoudig door naar bijvoorbeeld iTunes te gaan op je telefoon. En zoeken op Ennohanning Show. Klik dan op abonneer. En als je er dan toch bent, klik ook even op bijvoorbeeld 5 sterren. Om deze podcast te beoordelen. Dankjewel alvast. Heb je vragen over deze aflevering met Jenna, of heb je een vraag over de podcast? Stuur hem dan naar podcast@ernohanning.nl. Ik lees hem graag en je hoort van mij. Ben je teleurgesteld in het resultaat van jouw online acties? Heb je het gevoel dat je kansen mist? Doe de online resultaatanalyse en leer hoe jouw bedrijf online meer klanten en omzet krijgt. Vraag nu jouw analyse aan. Boek hem snel, want mijn agenda loopt altijd vol. Ga daarvoor naar onlineresultaatanalyse.nl. Ik hoor graag van jou.
Dankjewel voor het luisteren naar de Erno Hanning Show op ernohanning.nl.